Blog Talk Good afternoon. Radio.
Good afternoon. I am Cynthia Jahi of the Taurus Love Show, and I want to welcome you with the excitement, the love, the peace, and harmony that goes with being Jasari's dog. And Jasari means audacious, bold. It's a bold type of love, and that's why I actually do this show. I love being here. I love being on this earthly experience. I am grateful for what the Creator has put together here. I'm still learning it, still making some adjustments on my journey, but I love it. I want to take the time to welcome everybody to the Jasari's Love Show. I thank you for taking the time out of your very, very busy schedule to listen to my show. I want to thank Baba Satavi Jahi, my wonderful husband of 30 years, for putting this platform together, which is known as the Home-Based Business 101 platform, so that we are able to talk to millions and millions of people about the importance of having a home-based business and understanding about the tax laws wherever you live. Also, being able to know why it's so important to have a plan and goals and why it's important to have a business plan and to plan out your day, have a calendar. So many different things. And just there's so many things that we need to do. And I'm thankful for the Home-Based Business 101 platform and all that we do. So, okay. All right, I don't know what happened. Okay, let me try it again. I'm supposed to be on. I don't know what's happening. I'll try again. All righty. Sometimes these things happen and just really thank you. My sister said I'm not on, so let me sign back in if I can. Okay, I'm back reconnected. I'm not sure what happened according to the show I'm on, according to my sister or not, but I'm going to go forward with the show. Again, thank you. This is the Jasari's Love Show, and I'm going to ask her to try to call my husband to let him know. Excuse me, 1 second, everyone. Call. And so I'm here, and I'm going to go forward with the show. According to my sister, I'm not signed in, but I'm going to go forward. So please forgive us, because we can only go by what we see and what we hear. You know, this is modern technology. So my topic today is peace before Katrina, during Katrina, and after Katrina. And I'm talking about Hurricane Katrina. Yes, I am. And again, this is the Jasari's Love Show, trying to do the show today. I don't know if I'm not in or what's going on. But anyway, I'm going to do the show and pray that I'm actually on. My topic has been peace, and as you know, those of you who have been following, it has to do with your personal peace, and I'm going to emphasize it. I can't emphasize it enough, and I can't apologize for it, because to me, peace is extremely important. To have peace, to wake up in peace, for babies to be nurtured in a peaceful atmosphere, for the animals to have peace, for the birds to be able to fly peacefully. And I do understand that in the world there's the ecosystem, there's the food chain. I understand that. However, I also understand that from my understanding, we as humans have more control over what we do and what we bring to the earth, and how we can contribute to the peaceful aspect of it in the midst of all that's going on with the food chain. You know, I understand that the cat's going to chase the squirrel, and the lions are going to go after the gazelle, and the and the lions are going to go after the deer and the giraffe and the zebra. I get that. But I also understand that we as humans can choose to be warlike or to be peaceful, to eat everything on the planet and disregard what the Creator has set aside for us, or to consider and cherish and be obedient and eat the things that the Creator has designated for us to eat, to follow the laws of the universe, which have been laid down by the Creator of this universe, the Creator of this creation. It's my understanding. I'm not going to be able to give you every piece of scientific data. I'm just going on being a being on the earth, paying attention to what's happening and what I, from my perspective, what I see, what I read about, the places I go, and the opinions and experiences of others is always considered. So, again, welcome to Home Based Business 101 platform, the Jasari's Love Show. I'm on Fridays at 3. You can hear Baba Satari Jahi at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sundays. You can hear him again on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock. He does a phenomenal reading. Right now he's on the Dennis Kimball Brooks. And also you can hear Miss Victoria Falk on Mondays, 3 Eastern Standard Time. So you'd have to figure out your Central Time, your Pacific Time, and other international times. But this is the times, 3 o'clock, and mine is 12 noon, okay, Friday, Eastern Standard Time. Peace. Peace is just so needed, so important. You know, when we read the 23rd Psalm, it just really gets me. The Shepherd's Psalm: "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, it says it, "I shall not want," and I've changed mine to "I shall have my heart's desire." "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." When I was in Central Park, just like when I was in Audubon Park in New Orleans, I felt that peace because there's a little lake in Audubon Park, and I felt the still waters. And those places, it's just beautiful. It's just really, really beautiful. In Columbia, Maryland, I go out there sometime, and there's a lake, and I feel the peace of the still waters. And sometime I ride out to Frederick and Hagerstown, Maryland, and that area in general, out that way, out Route 70. And there's some lakes out there, the Catoctin Mountain State Park, and there's some lakes out there, and Greenbrier, and there's a lake out there. And there is this peace. I have a friend who just goes up and down to Deep Creek Lake, and there's this peace. God gives these places, the divine creator, Allah, Jehovah, whatever you call God, the creator of everything. This entity, this creation, male, female, gives us this peace. He gives us valleys and green pastures. And so when my family decided to go to New Orleans, we went there first and foremost seeking peace. And when I shared it with some of the cab drivers, they laughed and said, "Lady, this is a wild city. Here ain't a lot of peace here." But they didn't understand that where I was coming from, that I was able to find peace there because it was a different environment for me. And God sent me there, yes, I believe. And my husband, my grandson, my daughter, and myself, we found peace. We found peace first of all, my husband and grandson just found peace in being in a city that he lived in for over 13 years, and he had a lot of friends there. His dear friend, Kurt Pedlin, was there, and there were some others that were there. Oh, goodness, one of his other good dear friends, I cannot think of her name at the moment. It will come to me hopefully while the show is going on. Dear friends, male and female friends that he had there. And He was able to provide a peaceful setting for our grandson, who was 3 at the time, who needed peace. He really, really needed peace. We were recovering from the fact that our daughter had been attacked by her husband, and she had been shot, which caused her to be paralyzed, and temporarily paralyzed, but she is paralyzed right now, so she's been paralyzed for 10 years now. And so being there, you know, in 2004, my husband went, and I went in 2005, right? So he went in December the 8th, 2004, to seek peace, and I followed him with my daughter, coming straight out of the hospital on January, I believe it was the 4th, 2005. And there we found peace. By the time we got there, my husband's best friend, Kurt Tedlin, from the University of New Orleans, UNO, where they had done the NAACP together, where they had created an organization with over 165 members, from 3 members to 165 members, very active NAACP. They had forged a serious lifelong friendship. And Kurt Tedlin invited us into his home and pretty much gave us access to the entire back part of his home, first floor and the back part of his home, which was just awesome. There in that back part of his home, we had the kitchen. We shared the kitchen. We had dining room area, and we had 2 bedrooms and a bathroom, and that was and a living room we could use, which was more than enough space for my husband, myself, our daughter, and our grandson. And we did have access to that backyard and the front porch, where they had a nice little swing set on it. So that was wonderful. We lived in a community that was a surprisingly integrated community for me. I had not, at that point, well, I had just left the integrated community. It was the first time I really had lived in an integrated community, to be honest with you. I'd always lived in an African-American community. So here I was in a very integrated community. When I say integrated, I mean cosmopolitan, because that's where New Orleans is. You will find people of all ethnic groups in New Orleans. So you have your Caucasians, you have your people from the Philippines, you have your people from Japan and China and the African countries and other Europeans, Italian, I mean, you name it, the people are there. And there they were, you know, going and moving about, still kind of staying within their own little group, from what I could tell. But it was still a nice place to be. And we were only about 7 blocks from Audubon Park. No, we're a little further than from his house. But we were pretty close to the Mississippi River. We could go and, as my husband could say, throw rocks into the river. And we were around the corner where we had a nice pizza place, nice pizza, and ice cream parlor not too far away, and your typical little shopping district, and the trolley, and Tulane University wasn't too far either. So it was a good, you know, a good environment. A lot of plant life that I had not seen, birds that I had not seen, these beautiful white dove-like looking birds. I don't think they were doves, but they were very beautiful. And other birds and the most beautiful flowers that you would ever want to see. So as we would awaken every day, there was something new to look forward to. I knew in going there, it was planted in my mind by the Divine One, that when you go to this place that you know nothing about, it will uplift you. It will give you so many new challenges, new and exciting challenges, that it will lighten the load of what you and your family, your daughter, are now facing, and that is learning and understanding her situation with the paralysis, and also learning and understanding the process of recuperation, healing, and regaining her ability to walk again. And in the interim of that, enjoying life. That is what we did. So we would quite often get up. I would be up at 4:30 in the morning, about 4:15. I'd get up. I'd get my exercises done, the floor exercises. I'd fix breakfast, which was actually all the wrong things for my daughter to eat for that time of the morning. I'd give her a certain medicine, which was like the wrong medicine for that time of the day. We didn't know until probably 3 months later or 6 months later that that was not the best way to do things. But I did the best that I could based on what I knew and what I understood. And we would get ready for each day because every other day she had therapy. And so we went on for her to do her therapy. And we would do this every day. And the days that we had therapy, we'd have to be outside to get our ride at about 5 minutes or 10 minutes to 9 so that she could get to her therapy, I believe, by 9:15 or 9:30, something along that line. And the wheelchair lift, the mobility of New Orleans, very curious, would come and get us. And that was our ritual, and my husband would take care of his grandson. And that was pretty much our ritual. But in the midst of that, we played music, we sang, the three of us, my daughter and my grandson and I played games. We played hide and go seek in the house, in Kurt Tuttle's house. And we created a life for ourselves there. We attended different events. We attended the events held at the African Cultural Center. There, we met a lady who taught us how to cook more healthy with tofu and how to use soy and about Qigong. We learned about Qigong, and Tai Chi and things like that. And my background is dance and theater, and meditation was always a part of it. So all these things kind of came in pretty easy for me, and my daughter's background being ballet, she had been exposed to these things too. So that was absolutely, beautiful. Visiting with the sister there, just being able to have that peace. There was another lady that was a friend of my husband's, whom, wow, I should have wrote these names down because I can't think of a name. I want to call her Joey. And she, her name was Josephina, and she kind of watched over my daughter while we were moving from Kurt's place into our own place that we could stay in. It was a rental property, but it was another place that we could wheel into. Mr. Petalin's place was not wheelchair accessible. Kurt's place wasn't wheelchair accessible. But he helped to carry up and down the steps, my husband, every neighbor, everywhere. Everybody was willing to help get us in and out of the house, which was beautiful. That was really beautiful. And the first floor was pretty big, so she could, get around. And we could actually play hide and go seek and have some time trying to find each other. So, those things were peaceful, And every day that we went out, which was pretty much every other day, we went out. Therapy was Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I didn't like having to go to therapy sometime on Fridays, especially holidays, but when you're in care of getting therapy, they do holidays. There's no such thing as missing a therapy. And, the caregiver is tired, to be honest with you. So we're like, oh, we still got to go on a Saturday, or we got to go on that Friday. It's a holiday, or that Monday is a holiday. Yes, you do. But in that, I found peace because eventually I became comfortable and secure, and I felt safe that these people were going to be careful with my daughter while we were there in therapy. And it probably took me six to eight sessions, before they looked at me and I looked at them and they said, you can go and have a cup of coffee in a barn, or you can go and relax and have some time for yourself. We have her for the next 2 hours, and she will be fine. And she looked at me and said, Mom, I'm fine. And once she said she was fine, then I went. of course, I didn't go right away. You know how you stay extra 15 minutes and you come back early? That's what I did. And I would go to the cafeteria at Tulane. I think that was the name of the hospital. And I would go, boy, I got to work on the name of the hospital, too. And they had a beautiful gift shop. Oh. And I would go in the gift shop. Sometimes I would just, you know, maybe get a pair of earrings or something. Looking around mostly, because I didn't have a lot of money on me at the time. So mostly just, you know, shopping, window shopping. And I would just go to the cafeteria and just relax and go and get probably, I know I had coffee and I had probably some type of bun that they had for breakfast, so maybe eggs or something like that, you know. And then I would relax. I got comfortable with the building and where I had to go, and I relaxed and I was able to read my Yana Van Zandt book, Acts of Faith. And I had another book I was reading, too, by Yana Van Zandt. I love her work in Yana Van Zandt. Thank you, Yana Van Zandt. And I would write my letters to my family and cards back to my the sister-in-law, Sheila, who had sent to a lot of people what we needed, and they were sending money and they were sending gifts. Yeah, so that was a lot of peace with that. And I was sipping my coffee. I can't even drink coffee now, but I'm like, boy, I could drink it then. And it was just so wonderful. And the atmosphere there, because there's a huge window there. And, of course, outside you see the beautiful flowers of New Orleans. It's absolutely beautiful. And I will be sitting alone. And I never forget the day after I'd done that for probably 3 or 4 weeks. One day my daughter, instead of me coming up to meet her, she came down and met me. She texted me, "Mom, I'm coming to meet you. Just stay where you are." I was all worried, like, oh, my God, because she found her way, and she's in this wheelchair, and she's really just learning how to, you know. But she knew how to use the wheelchair. I forgot. They had taught her that at Kern Air Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. So she wheels on down, and she met me, and we had the rest of our breakfast together, which was, we sat and talked, or we had lunch or something. And it was really nice because she was showing me, look, I'm getting out of, you know, this shell that of course, women, you go into a shell when you've been attacked, because there's something about that attack thing. And then the, you know, it's just something, there's a reaction and there's a, kind of like a bubble of fear that can stay with you for a while. And it's actually can stay with you for a long time, because what happens is places that you go that remind you of anything like the area where you were attacked have a tendency of putting it back into your system. You could be in another state, and if a piece of scrub or bush is setting the exact same way that it was setting, it was a very similar background with the housing structure, you trust and believe me, it can make you go like, what in the world, why am I so feeling eerie, you know, eerie feeling, and then you remember, oh, wow, this is very much like XYZ, this experience that I had. So after she kind of gotten through that part of that time for that, she was able to come through, and we had that time together. Also, while she was in therapy on other days, after I got really comfortable, I was like months into it, then I would leave and walk about 5 blocks to something like a Starbucks kind of a thing, but a little bit more laid back, and I would get, you know, my coffee, mocha something, and I like the mocha stuff, respected, I could have the mocha stuff. And a delicious piece of pastry, and I would write, and I would read, and I would be in a place of extreme peace and comfort, and learning the city at the same time. You know, learning Louisiana Avenue, I think it was Napoleon, and I can't think of half of them now, but I find my way around, so Bond Street and different places. I have to get a map out now so I can remember them. And so those things gave me peace. I'm really serious. It gave me so much peace. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall have my heart's desire. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel comfort and safety and confidence. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. And so that's where I was. I was feeling comfortable, safe, confident, and I was thankful that we were able to stay at Kurt Pevlin's place. Dear friend of my husband, Baba Sitawa Jahir, friend from UNO, and meet some of my husband's friends while there, and just get into the spirit of New Orleans, as you know, which is music and Mardi Gras and beads and the Black Indians, and things like that. And the Mississippi River and Lake Pontchartrain. I already told you about Lake Pontchartrain. I'm not going to say they gave me peace, okay? Lake Pontchartrain, as far as I'm concerned, is a monster. It's just kind of rough water in my view. People who are used to it, they're used to it. And so we met some other wonderful friends of my husband. I went bike riding with Brother Arnold Modi, I believe is his name. And my daughter got her hair done. I actually got my hair done by his wife, which was nice. And they had been a nice, beautiful section. I can't think of the name of the section now, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful houses that were like cottages, and I just loved the atmosphere of going there. And the next time I do this show, I'll have the names of all these places. I didn't think I would forget them, but, you know, I did. And no one could ever share with you how beautiful it was unless people took pictures of these places before the Hurricane Katrina. There's no way for you to know. We went to the Essence Festival, my daughter and I. We met Farrah Gray. We met Dennis Kimbrough. He's the author. Both of them are people who talk about they're personal development people who help you with finances, understanding about going into business for yourself and just living a better, more positive life where you can live a life in wealth and be free and independent person, independent thinker, but yet be a complement to your community. So we met them, and Susan Taylor was there. Oh, God, that was awesome. And some other wonderful authors. About books, about a young lady, I think her name was Glenfoot. She was there, and I got her book. I got Tara Gray's book, and Millionaire. And Dennis Kimbrough, we got a couple books from Dennis Kimbrough. Reading gives me peace, and being able to sit there and read, and just being in New Orleans, the atmosphere. It was just wonderful, just being able to walk in a place that's just absolutely beautiful with the beautiful trees, the huge trees. I think those trees are oak trees, and the very wide trees. They're wide, and they give a lot of shade, but they're very low trees, though. They're very low. So these trees may stand, I guess these trees stand about 15 to 20 feet tall, but, and they may be a little taller than that, some of them, but they're shade, but the limbs of the trees reach out like that. Like they reach out like 10, 15, 20 feet out to the diameter, so it gives you an awesome amount of shade. So there you don't even have to have other things to sit under because the trees are so wide. You have plenty of shade, so that was wonderful. And being able to go through Audubon Park when I finally started doing that,
I couldn't be there very long. I could just go real quick, and then I had to be back to be with my daughter because that was a little distance, if I remember correctly, from the hospital. So I had to kind of monitor myself if I wanted to go there. I might have even had to take a bus, I'm not sure, a trolley. But it was a place of supreme peace. And, you know, that's what I found there. And that's how we lived with my grandson, my husband, and our daughter. And it was just beautiful. And, you know, I do believe that thou prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Our cup was running over in peace and love and adventure. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I believe that we were in his house, meaning we were in his protection. We were in a place of peace while we were there. And we met a wonderful doctor, and he took care of my daughter, and she experienced acupuncture, and her and I took a therapy session together. The acupuncture took her pain away. I've talked about that before. And she had severe pain when her pain patch was taken off in Maryland. So thank God she didn't have pain while we were on that airplane, because I don't know, they may have had to cause us to go off. But she had this horrible pain on the 5th of January. And thankfully, we met a doctor. He was a specialist. He was holistic. And Cy Carpenter was his name. I've got to write these things out because I can see I'm forgetting some things. I don't want to forget that Cy Carpenter. He lives in L.A. now, well, California. It may not be L.A. part, but somewhere in California. Unfortunately, after Katrina, that's where he had to go. And, oh, my goodness, to talk about missing him. And so that's what happened. So she went there, and we had therapy sessions. And the therapy sessions, you know, a lot of meditation and then sitting on the floor. And went through a meditation where I had to, we as a group, 10 of us, had to take these huge, delicious strawberries and just look at them. And then from that, we smelled them. And then we were told to not just bite into them, but take a bite and let it just fill in your tongue. And if the senses in your tongue taste it and feel the texture and send a message to your brain, I am about to let you enjoy a strawberry. It's juicy and it has a nice texture to it. And so I learned how to just eat. People say I eat slow anyway, but I was already eating slow, but to eat slower and to even enjoy every morsel of what I eat, which again gives you peace. People, slow down and taste your food. Should have did that this morning before I was rushing to get to my show here, which I hope you're able to hear. But I don't even know if I'm really on the air or not, but I am trying. I am trying. I hope my thing is working. It seems like it's saying mute, but I shouldn't be on mute, so I don't know what this means. Okay. So hard to know what these things mean, you know? So anyway, I don't know. This song is crazy. All kinds of things happen with your telephone. So anyway, here I am. My husband sent me a message. He might be telling me I'm not even on the air. I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to keep on talking. Toro. Oh, he does hear me. Toro is the name of the hospital. Thank you, husband. Thank you. Okay. So so I am on the air, thank goodness, because this phone is showing me all kinds of crazy things. So before I left, was always saying the 25th Psalm, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, I trust in thee. But then I changed it, and it says, let me be confident and safe. Let me be confident and safe and successful and always at peace and graciousness. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies, thy loving kindness, for thou hast been ever old. I'm going to stop there. And so there I was with this scripture and, you know, the Bible. And Oh, all kinds of books. And, of course, you have the Daily Bread, and I have my Yana Van Zandt, Acts of Faith, yes. And so all these things did give me peace. And my husband's there, and a grandson, and my daughter. And we missed our family up in Baltimore. Our entire family's in Baltimore, in the Maryland area, parts in Columbia and parts in Baltimore. Then my husband had family in Philly also. But we missed our family, but we were enjoying the journey, the experience. We were recuperating, recovering, getting ourselves mentally rehealed, strong. All four of us. All four of us needed it. The 3.5-year-old needed it. Our daughter, who was just 24, needed it. My husband needed it, and I needed it. And this place in New Orleans, in the home of Kurt Pedlin, and then moving on to another place not too far from Kurt, gave us that. Gave us that stability and gave us that that peace. I'm going to pause for a second to remind you that this is the Jesari's Love Show, and I'm part of the home-based business one-on-one platform created by my husband, been married for 30 years. His name is Baba Sitawi Jahi, and my show is 12 noon every Friday. That's what I'm working on, making sure that happens. I plan on having some guests on. I have had a couple. I will have more. I know there's some of you waiting to get on, and we'll work that out. And my husband's show is 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sundays. He also does one on Wednesdays. The Sunday show is about everything about business, a lot about business and taxes, how to save on your taxes, the importance of having a home-based business, why everyone should have one. Also travel, because we are all travel agents. We have our own agency. And also how to plan, how to set goals, how to have your business plan, how to create your nonprofit. And he gives, and if you want his services, he has very good, reasonable prices. Just look him up under www.thetaxhelper.weebly.com, or you can text him at 252-458-3712, and you can look him up on Facebook, Baba Jahi, J-A-H-I. Baba is spelled B-A-B-A, Jahi, J-A-H-I. And he'll help you. And it doesn't matter if you live in New Orleans, Wisconsin, Hawaii. It doesn't matter if you're all the way in Alaska. It doesn't matter if you're in Maine, Florida, Texas. It doesn't matter if you're in Kansas City, Kentucky. It doesn't matter if you're in Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, New Hampshire, Idaho, Iowa. It doesn't matter if you're in Nevada, Utah, Oregon, Arizona, Arkansas, Mississippi. Doesn't matter if you're in Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Wyoming, Oregon, Washington State, Wisconsin. It doesn't matter if you're in Rhode Island, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Washington, D.C. Did I say that already? It doesn't matter if you're in Alabama. You know, it just doesn't matter. I think I got most of the states. I might have left off two. There's always two or three that leave Montana, Oklahoma, you know, California. It just doesn't matter. Vermont. It doesn't matter. Michigan. It doesn't matter where you are. You name a state, he can service you. We got the internet, people. I mean, we have power. We have knowledge. And we want to thank everybody, all the thousands of people, the 70,000 of people who listen to all of our shows. So let me get back to my point of peace. So we're there, we're having a good time. So one day, about a week, I think my girlfriend Ashante says, Ashante Hutchinson, thank you. She said, I saved your message. I missed you one day. I left a message on her answering machine, and she said she decided to save it. And the message was this. I was walking in Audubon Park, and I'd been out there walking for an hour and a half. It was the first time I had that much time to walk and be out there totally by myself. I had my backpack. I had an apple. I had my crochet. I had some water and maybe one other thing to munch on. Not a lot. It was hot. And it was August, and it was a few days before Katrina. So it was somewhere, yeah, it had to be August, I think. And it was 2005. And I walked along the Mississippi, and I was telling her about that, and I was in Audubon Park, and I had about a half an hour left, and I was just telling her how I had called back home to let them know that I were they okay, and they said, yeah, we're okay. I said, well, I'm going to stay another hour out at the park. They said, well, yeah, we're fine. Everybody's fine. We have, you know, Sunshine, she's fine, and grandson's fine, and so that was good. And she said she could hear the joy in my voice, and she could hear the beauty of New Orleans and the peace, and I was telling her about these beautiful trees and the beautiful colors of the plants and the beautiful birds. And I was like, oh, Shanti, I'm out here, and I'm walking, and I'm taking my time, and there's all these beautiful birds, and there's this lake, and there's these turtles, and the colors of the birds, you know, and the pink and the blue and the white and the yellow and, you know, the black and the flowers and the huge trees, and hope to talk to you soon. I'm walking, you know, extra 2 hours today, 2 hours of free time because my husband and grandson are helping with our daughter. And, well, I hope to see you soon. And on the Mississippi River, I'm looking at it, and it's, you know, I don't even think I can see the Mississippi River from there. But anyway, I probably was telling her about something else about the Mississippi River. I can't remember, actually. But, so, you know, it was a beautiful day, and I told her I was getting ready to sit down and crochet for a few minutes. Now, she was imagining me doing this, but it gave her peace to know that I had peace. And that's what it's about. You know, you have your peace, and then you share your peace. You expand it. You send it to someone else and let them know that in the way you describe something, that it's peaceful and you're relaxed and you're comfortable and things are moving at an okay pace and don't really need anything except for maybe more well wishes and for them to enjoy peace wherever they are. And so that's how that day went, with me being able to share that. Okay, and so I just received another message from my husband. I hope all is well. Yeah, we had moved to 515 Burdett Street. We were living at 515 Burdett Street. No good. He's been able to hear me loud and clear since 1203, so the rest of you can't see. Thank you. So there we were living at 515 Burdett Street, and oh, my goodness. I can't even go into really the story of how we got there, but I'm going to give you a little bit of an idea of how the universe works. Okay. While my daughter was still in the hospital, our daughter was still in the hospital, and, you know, like I said, she's 24, she was a dancer. Here she finds herself in the hospital, trauma survived, trying to understand what this thing is called paralysis from below her breast down, okay, paralysis. Her arms are fine. She can move her arms and she can move her shoulders, all of that, and her head and ears and things and eyes. Her face is fine. And so he sends up, I think he mailed it. He mailed a picture to us while she's in the hospital of some places that him and our grandson had looked at, thought maybe we could move in once we got there. This is before Kurt Padlon had told him, look, you can move in where I'm at. You don't have to worry about getting your own place. So they had found these three places, sent us the pictures up. I took them to my daughter, and we looked at the pictures, and we chose one. We chose, you know, one, two, and three, the first choice, second, and third. And I told her, I said, look, I'm going to put these in the Bible. I told him which one we chose. He said, okay, we'll look for that first one. And then we have second choice, third choice. And so I put it in the Bible, and I put the Bible away, took it back to our apartment, didn't think about it anymore. I just said, no more than, oh, well, you know, he's going to look for a place, and I hope he finds a nice place. That was about it. So, as I said, January the 4th, her and I moved down there. Took the plane, first plane ride in my life, first one for her. Wonderful plane ride, set first class. That was cool. And So here we are there, been there for 3 months, and we want to move on. We believe we can move on, and it's okay with Kurt. We can stay or move on. With him, it was fine either way. He's just that kind of a guy. So we, my husband had to go back to Maryland to take care of some business, and he left a friend of his, brother Adam, well, I hope I'm saying his name right, Adam Ovi, and Adam said, Cynthia, I'm going to take you out. Your husband asked me to take you out to see the three places for yourself. So he takes me to these three places, me and my daughter. We're riding around, and we pick one. And they're not the three places that my husband had chosen, because those places were gone. They had been taken, someone had moved in those three. So there's three other places he takes us. And we ride around, and we see one, we like it because it's wheelchair accessible, and it's got a nice backyard, huge backyard with all these pretty plants in it. We, you know, half of the plants were my daughter and I. And she could wheel right on into the front, through a gate, through the back way, and through these huge doors into the house, the living room, the one floor thing, and no steps whatsoever. Huge bedrooms, two wonderful bathrooms, beautiful kitchen with an island in it. We were loving this place, okay? And so and so that was going to be great for us. I think it had some furniture in it, so that was going to work because we didn't have any. And so we called him and told him, and he says, okay. So his friend took the sign down and said for rent or for sale or whatever and contacted the people. And I think my husband was still away. I came back and had to go again, but whatever. We got to moving in this place, and that's when Josie watched my daughter as I went to move clothes, just boxes of clothes, the things that my family had sent down for us to have, our things out of the apartment in Baltimore and all of that. So actually, we're living in a condo out in Woodlawn when all this happened. But anyway, so here we are, moving in. We're happy. You know, my husband said, whatever you like, it's fine with us as long as it's wheelchair accessible. And we moved in and everything, and he came in town, and he's there. We're, you know, having dinner and different things we're doing. And I opened up the box that my sister sent down from Baltimore, from my condo in Baltimore, from Woodlawn area, and took out the books and the papers and the this and that. Stuff was just thrown in the box. It was pretty rough for my family. It was hard, you know, for her to move my stuff. Her sister's moved. I'm the only sister. We're just two of us, sisters, the four brothers. And here her sister has moved clear across the country. And so here I am opening up the Bible, just kind of looking through, like, I wonder what I got here. And there falls out a picture of one of the houses we had chosen. It wasn't the house we were in, but it looked exactly like that house. It had the same type of front, just reversed in where it was. You could roll in, and it was just pretty much the same. Huge backyard, maybe some different things as far as the inside of the house, but pretty much the same front and side, and pretty much the same layout. We just looked at each other and said, oh, my God. And, of course, we got tears in our eyes, like, wow. When you ask the Creator for something, He will give it to you. When you ask it for it with love, with sincerity, with belief, you have to simply believe. And He will give you peace if you ask for peace. And we had asked for peace, and we had asked for to go on this journey where we could get clarity and clear some things up in our minds and get some healing for all of us, our daughter physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually, as well as ourselves. And we were receiving that. My grandson was at peace. He was, even though he was 3, going on 4, he turned 4 during the process. He was experiencing some different things, which was absolutely phenomenal also. That he was experiencing what he experienced. So that was all good. And he was he had some issues when he got there. Now these issues were being erased. From the love that my husband gave him, the patience, the time. People, your young people, they need your attention. That's what they need. Grandparents, I know you're out there trying to do your thing, some of you. I know we got a new set of grandparents out there today. Everybody don't want to be granny. But we need, hello, I'm putting a call out. We need some grannies and some granddaddies out there. You could be a real granny for a day. You could be a real granny for a week. You could be a real granny for a month. You could be a real granny for a year if you choose to sacrifice and step up and do one of the duties, actually, that the Creator put you on this earth to be. You know, but that's another whole topic. There's a time and a place for everything. And there's a time when, as we get older, that we got to be the granny. We got to be the aunt. We got to be the father, the mother. That's why we have these statuses in life, these stations. And with them comes the ability to render peace and love and harmony. So I haven't really talked about what happened, you know, after Katrina. I haven't gotten there yet because we had Burdette. But anyway, while at Burdette, you know, we get settled in. My grandson gets to go to take some classes over at Tulane University at age 4. He's taking a class on reading. And real interesting because my daughter's doctor, very nice doctor, her and her daughter are attending the same class on reading, get these children to read at a young age. They signed them up for school right down the street on Burdette, in the corner of Burdette, and I don't know the street, my husband probably knows. 2 blocks away, there was school, elementary school. My daughter and I were going to take some classes over at Del Vera University. And you'll correct me on that, the university, if you're still online. But it wasn't that far away. We were looking for the journey, the adventure, and also being able to get back to our grandson if he needed us, because it was going to be an adjustment. We were actually homeschooling him. And then we thought, okay, well, maybe he needs an opportunity to go to school so he could have, make some friends, you know, and at the same time give my daughter another activity also. So it was about trying to give each one of us activity, go back to school, you know, get some classes under our belt and things like that. My husband was working with the youth and the African Afrocentric program at the African Cultural Center. And a storm came through. It wasn't Katrina. Storm, I believe her name was Cindy, came through. And then knocked down a lot of those oak trees. Thousands of oak trees was knocked down when the storm came in. It was like just a very severe storm. Might have been a level 1 hurricane, but kind of went back and forth as to what they ruled that to be. That was in late August. And then, I don't know how come I don't have the date of Katrina. But then Katrina hit. And the thing about all of that, so maybe, you know, there's going to be part 2 next week on Katrina. But, you know, we were, you know, you all saw it, you know, on the news. Oh, Katrina's terrible storm is coming through. But if you were living in New Orleans, you're getting a lot of mixed media. It may come, it may not come, best to evacuate. And just for you to know, we couldn't get a plane out because everything, all the airlines said that they were packed. They were packed. The train, it was packed. No buses available. Also, the wheelchair lifts and stuff were not available. We got that message like on a Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday, we get on the wheelchair lift. That's mobility. And for the people who have disabilities or challenges, physical challenges. And the as I sat down behind my daughter in the seat in front of me, it said, in the event of hurricane, this bus will not be available. We will not be available. I'm like, wow, I thought this was what I was going to use to get where I had to go to safety. And so all of these things happened. And we, the day before the hurricane, which was that Saturday, that Friday night, we had friends that came in. We didn't get to see them. They came in for a honeymoon. A couple that my husband knew from Baltimore came in to celebrate, not a honeymoon, but an anniversary. Came in to celebrate that. They were told everything was okay, and then when they went back to their hotel Saturday night, they were told they needed to leave. My daughter and I went to Sam's Club that Saturday morning. Everybody was normal in there. The first thing that I checked out to see if things were okay was the water supply, and there were these huge mounds of water for people to buy, you know, for the emergency. Well, no one was rushing, you know, you have people just rush at you get in there and people are snatching stuff. That wasn't happening. People were just, maybe somebody would get some water, maybe they wouldn't. I did see some people buying generators, and I don't think they were able to use them. You know, now we think about what really happened in Katrina. But I do remember this. I remember a gentleman at the poultry department over there where the chicken was. And I was going to get some chicken, and he went back. He said, wait a minute. He went back to go get something. I hear something on the radio. He was checking the radio for the news. And when he came back, this was an African-American gentleman, about in his 40s or 50s, and he just looked at me. He had turned pale. Seriously, he turned pale. And he said, we've got to get out of here. He says, they just said we're going to have to evacuate. The mayor is speaking now. And he said the governor was speaking. And it's going to be bad in the area that I live in. I'm going to lose my home. He said, I just bought my home. I just signed the paperwork like a month ago. And I remember looking at him, and I said, sir, I realized that you had just bought this, but you're going to have to let that go and get to safety. That's going to be the most important thing. And then my daughter and I left. I didn't have the sense to go tell the supervisor, you know, maybe keep an eye on this guy. This guy like to even have a heart attack. He turned tail. And, you know, we went on and we got on back on our ride, and we went back to deal with, you know, analyze things to see what was going to happen for the afternoon, whether we were going to go or stay at that time. Where were we going to go? Because here I had a person that needed to be transported. You just can't take people in wheelchairs and just expect them to move about. You have to have space for the wheelchair and the person and any vehicle that you're using. So I'm going to close with this in peace, and that is that we were together as a family, and you'll hear more next week about how we went through that as a family and how we stayed together in peace and love, and how other people assisted. How a nurse was kind enough to say that although she had to stay because of her duties as a nurse, that she, this was a Caucasian nurse, that she wanted my husband and our family to leave to get to safety. For those people who did that, for the people who prayed for us every day that we were there, especially when I was out in public, there were people who prayed for my daughter. I meant to say that earlier before I finished this up. There were people that prayed for my daughter every time we went out. They would stop. And they might even get in between me and her to get that prayer directly to her, to give her encouragement and to specifically pray for her healing and that she would walk again. So in New Orleans, I did find peace, and I've got to go. This is Village of Stars Love Show. I'll be back next week to tell you more. I just want you to understand that in the midst of turmoil, of anything that you've happened, you've got to dig deep, and you've got to find your place of peace. Also, we'll have a gift for people who are listening next week. It'll be available to you. I'm going to give you a little bit on it now. You just have to put in www.myvoitex365.com/MU group, and that's the gift. Again, you can go to Baba Jahi, Baba, B-A-B-A, Jahi, J-A-H-I. Look him up on Facebook and just ask him, hey, what's that gift your wife was talking about? You know, it'll help you save when you travel, people, okay? You all know you're traveling. You're getting rental cars or something, condos. You're going to the beaches. Hey, save yourself some money. Okay, this is the Just Stories Love Show, signing off. Please have a peaceful weekend and a peaceful week, a peaceful life.